Very many meetings that are taking place, so not the most comfortable and amenable to this meeting. All right, can we request the chairs are just brought in slowly, but I think we should proceed because we have a very tight program and there's also a debate this afternoon that members are participating in on government communications, and I know they want to still polish up the speeches and straighten the hair and put on the eyelashes. What else? Lipstick. Removing the eyelashes. Okay. All right, members, I think we should start. Good afternoon to everybody. Thank you for coming at short notice to this meeting. As the chairperson, I've taken a decision to convene this extraordinary meeting of the Portfolio Committee. I do so in terms of Rule 201, which states that the Portfolio Committee must maintain oversight of any executive organ of state falling within its portfolio. As such, the committee has powers assigned to it in terms of Rule 201C, which provides that it may monitor, investigate, inquire into, and make recommendations concerning any such executive organ of state or institution. I think most members will remember that at the very first meeting of the Portfolio Committee, where the chairperson was elected, Mr. van der Berg from the DA read out a statement expressing his serious concern at the development at the SABC. And it also appealed to the committee that we should prioritize this particular matter so that the committee can chart a way forward for itself and also give guidance to the National Assembly. So today the day has come, Mr. van der Berg. We have put this item on the agenda. The only topic for discussion today is the board, the SABC board, and for us to decide how we proceed. I have asked the department to place on record on behalf of the minister how many resignations they have received. The letter has been circulated to all the members. This was signed the 15th of June. And the Acting Director General of Communication confirmed that on that day, 7 members of the board had resigned since March 2009. The implications of this resignation is that the SABC board does not have the required quorum and cannot take business decisions. In addition to that, both the chairperson and the deputy chairperson have resigned. And one of the conditions of the quorum of 9 members is that either the chairperson or the deputy chairperson should be present. So we now have a completely dysfunctional board. In an ordinary person's language, I see this as a meltdown of corporate governance at the SABC. The board can't meet, it can't take decisions, it can't attend to the business of the day. And under these circumstances, I thought it advisable to then call up this urgent meeting because events have unfolded very rapidly last week. We've had 7 resignations in less than 7 days, I think. And that puts us, I think, in a very difficult position. So the purpose of this meeting now is really to give all the political parties an opportunity to reflect on the current situation and to determine what is the best way to address what is, I think, an unanticipated crisis, really. I don't think when we were drafting the law, even the amendment, we never expected a situation where so many members of the board would resign and that the chairperson and the deputy chairperson would resign. So we have a structure that's completely hamstrung and that can't make any decisions. And I think people are aware that there are serious challenges there. Certain managerial positions have to be filled at the SABC. A senior managerial position. There's a very grave cash flow crisis. Trade unions are threatening to embark on strike action. I had an informal meeting with them yesterday. They have a deep sense of grievance that the agreement that has been signed between the SABC board, or the SABC and the unions, is not being implemented. So they have expectations in terms of their salaries and those kinds of things. Certainly, Parliament cannot be blind to these things. I think a very grave responsibility rests on our shoulders now to give decisive leadership and to create some stability at the SABC. And if we have to take drastic action, I think we must be bold and courageous enough to do that. But we can't sit on the sidelines and say that the problems will resolve themselves. Because all indications are that we're not making progress. In fact, the crisis is deepening and we're not getting out of the rut. So with those few introductory comments, I'm going to throw open the discussion to all the political parties. I'm very glad that most political parties, at least the major parties, are represented here. So thank you very much to General Olomisa, Reverend Musa Zondi, Patricia, Dillal, and others who are regular members of the committee for joining this particular session. It's open for contributions and comments. ANC? Mr. Kulwani. Sorry, may I just add one more thing? We've just received this email from the Chief People's Officer, Mrs. Pumelele in the Monday, confirming that Mr. Ashwin Trikamji has also resigned. I didn't want to go by press report. I wanted something officially. And this is a note that has been circulated indicated that he had resigned on the 15th of June. So as things stand now, it might be that we have 8 out of 12 resignations. I thought I just needed to place this document on the record as well. So Kulwani.
Thanks, Chair. Maybe from our side, Chair, firstly would like to thank this opportunity which you have presented us as parties in this portfolio committee, so that indeed we are able to express our views around the matter of the SABC. Now, Chair, all what I remember is what you said at one point around last year, when you make an opening remarks and say all is not well in Auckland Park. In that, Chair, I could not agree with you more than what is really happening currently. But, Chair, we take this opportunity and also the other political parties, which has made sure that they do attend this meeting, because to us it becomes a matter of the national interest. In particular, if the SABC has been entrusted with a broad mandate of making sure that it does communicate and ensure that it informs our community. But as we have indicated, Chair, that the recent past has indicated that the SABC is moving to a state of paralysis in terms of the board performing some of its corporate governance issues and so on. Chair, ourselves as the ANC, indeed, we are also worried, Chair. As you are saying, we've been reading some reports that some of the organizations like Organized Labor and so on, the IPOs, threatening of the blackout. And we must raise this concern, Chair, because as we are talking, we are hosting the Confederation Cup here in our country, which must showcase our capacity and capability of hosting the 2010, which is coming next year. In that, Chair, as we have indicated, that we cannot be sitting on the sidelines as Parliament, not expressing our views on this matter. We are indeed very worried, as I've already indicated. And, Chair, we need to make sure that we look into what are we having in terms of our own legislation. What solution which we can provide as a committee in making sure that we amicably deal with this situation. Surely, Chair, it's something unprecedented that you can have 7, if it's the other one is concerned now, members of the board resigning within the short space of time, Chair. That can only confirm that we are in a serious crisis as we speak. And Chaz has already highlighted that for us to engage as the ANC on this discussion, taking the wisdom from our colleagues from the other parties in terms of what is their view in terms of dealing with the situation, so that together we reach a decision we should be able to serve the SAPC. I'm not talking on behalf of the serve our SAPC colleagues. I'm just saying so that we are able to take a decision together, which collectively can be able to discharge in making sure that we serve the SAPC. So that will be our opening remarks. Taking into consideration, Chair, that on our last meeting, the DA raised this matter sharply. It will seem that they are having a crystal ball. I'm not sure whether the Honourable Member does have a crystal ball where he can just look on issues and anticipate what will be happening in the few weeks to come and so on. Because we are precise on the problem which we are in now, which we are supposed to deal with. Chair, that will be how we'll be opening this discussion ourselves and ANC. Like I indicated, Chair, we want to approach this matter with open-minded, so that we find a solution will be long-lasting and which is going to benefit our people and the society at large. Thank you.
Very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I must begin by thanking you, Chairperson, for making this meeting possible. And also thank you for the leadership which you showed last week and over the weekend, when you took up matters affecting the SAPC on our behalf. From our side, we want to concur with the sentiments that you expressed, that they also conveyed how we feel about this very important national institution. Also, I would like to concur the sentiments of my colleague across the board there, that we cannot at this point in time allow the SAPC to go into oblivion. It is such a critical institution, particularly at this point in time when we are hosting the Confederation Cup and also when we are on the verge of hosting the World Cup, the Soccer World Cup next year. So we need to do everything in our power, but within the law, to sort out the matters within the SAPC board, not only within the SAPC board, but also within the management of SAPC. Because we think that problems that are stalking the board right now cannot be insulated from what is happening, according to the media reports that we have had, even the management of the corporation. So we think from our side we would want to be advised as to the way forward that is possible in terms of the law before us, because it is quite clear that what is left of the board cannot continue under the present circumstances. I don't know whether it would be possible merely to augment the quorum of what is left of the board, or we just need to request the remaining members of the board to resign en masse so that we start afresh with the reconstitution of the board. I know that we face the problem of time, that what happens then in the meantime, because the appointment of the new board is not something that can happen overnight. It needs to take a particular kind of process and specific notices. But whichever we are advised to do, which would be in keeping with the law, we would say that from our side we need to do immediately to save the SAPC. But lastly, Chairperson, apart from this, on our side we would want this committee to investigate the advisability of there being set up a comprehensive commission of inquiry, really, to look into what actually went on within the SAPC that led to this catastrophe. An institution cannot just collapse like this if there were no systemic there were no problems embedded within it. We need to know, the nation needs to know. We need to comprehensively go through all these issues. If we did that, I think we would be effectively exercising our oversight. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to concur partly with what was said earlier by both previous speakers. And I just wanted to ask specifically, if we look at the Amendment Act, what is the legal position at present? Because do we have any legal advisors here? From the Act, it seems that there should be a due inquiry into the conduct of people and elements of misconduct and inability to perform the duties, etc., come into play. We've had a long history at the SABC over recent months of legal action and counteraction and reinstitution of a CEO, etc., and I don't think Parliament should contribute to further unnecessary expenditure. We should really follow due process with whatever we're doing. So my concern is, and I would like to follow on what Member Zondi said, and that is, would it be possible for this body to fill the vacancies as part of the interim board, to fill the vacancies, because if we want to institute further action, in fact, if we want to adopt a resolution to dissolve the board, we really need a fundamental inquiry. And maybe we must just consider that as well. So would the right approach not perhaps be? Chairperson, I unfortunately have to state that the following is the position of my party. Firstly, in the first instance, we must be aware that the mismanagement of funds or lack of effective management has come quite a long way. And some of the earlier members who resigned said that during the election period, and usually election period is not exactly the period that any government would like to act on a broadcaster. So clearly that is part of the problem, but the initial three members who resigned expressed their severe concern about mismanagement of funds, and therefore I would like to also concur, we need a thorough investigation, a judicial inquiry into this, to determine what went wrong. What is amazing is that elements of the financial problems that the SABC now face, the seed must have been there. Certain bureaus were opened abroad in countries that should never have been opened. Costing was not done in time, etc. And I don't quite understand how all of that came about. Then just one last bit of concern that I have to express is that we are aware that at least the last four, maybe the last five members that resigned were actually requested or under pressure to resign. And my information at this stage, we cannot provide detailed information, but information that we have is that three of them were directed by the Tuli House and one by Kusatu, by Communist Party in Bramfontein. And whereas we need to immediately intervene to get a functioning board back on track, we also need to make sure that we do not have a continuation of political interference in the Broadcasting Authority of South Africa. The public deserves an independent broadcasting authority, broadcasting corporation, and we really need to ensure that we have such a body that would be trusted by all South Africans, also as far as our communication of messages are concerned. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ms. Kelly. May I just say that we do have the parliamentary legal people here and people with procedural issues from the Secretary to Parliament, because I think this is important that we follow the law and that we don't be found to be wanting in terms of our processes and procedures. So that's absolutely important. And I think we can take that as a given operating principle. We don't want to do something that's irregular or unlawful. Mr. Lal, and then General, and then Nikki van der Berg.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Minister C.P. Winyanda has said that he is looking toward the parliamentary processes to help pass a motion that will dissolve the current board. The Independent Democrats will certainly support such a process. However, we would like to caution that firstly, it is important that we ask ourselves how the parliamentary process failed to prevent this mess and fulfill its responsibility of accountability in the first place to ensure that this does not happen again. Secondly, we need a forensic audit so that we can, those people that have squandered public money must be brought to book. We will also support an inquiry. And when we do such an inquiry, I think it's important. I don't know what the status is of the reinstatement of the old CEO, Mr. Dalian Popo, that he also be invited, you know, to come to such an inquiry. Thirdly, we would like to caution the committee to ensure that the interim board is made up of non-political appointees and to put the independence of the SABC first. We would also like to see a concrete plan for payments to those producers and companies that have not yet been paid. This non-payment is threatening the future of our fledgling production industry. You mentioned, Chairperson, that you had a meeting with the unions. I think it's also important, and the ID support, that the previous agreement that they had with the union should be implemented as soon as possible. We cannot afford to compromise the screening of the Confederation's Cup because the whole world is watching South Africa. And then lastly, Chairperson, the reinstatement of the CEO, Dalian Popo. What is the status of that? Is he going back or do we have to pay him out? Money the SABC don't have at the moment, or is he going to be reinstated? Thank you.
General Lamisa.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I've got a little bit of a problem here procedurally. I thought at least a DG or somebody from SABC would be here to give us full briefing as to what were the circumstances which led to this mass resignation. Now, the reasons are coming up in dribs and drabs in the media. Even this letter written by the DG, acting DG, he is not stating the reasons why there are such mass resignation. Yet in the media, there are a lot of points which have been raised. So I would like you, Chairperson, if possible, just to take us through briefly what has been the preliminary reported or submitted to you concerning the chaos at SABC, so that we take the decisions fully knowing exactly what is the problem. Because you hear also my colleagues are already expressing some concerns about the political appointees and so on and so on. Is this problem related to financial mismanagement? Or is it related to political interference? What is going on? I'm a little bit in the dark. I'm sorry.
Well, can I just say this much? But look, I think it's really unfair to get a report from the acting director general. The appointing authority in this instance is the president. And any person who resigns will have to write to the president. The letter of resignation. So unfortunately, we don't have, we are not privy at this stage to those letters or to the reasons. But what I thought it was important for this meeting is to get at least written confirmation from the ministry who acts as the shareholder of the SABC about the exact status of the resignation. Who has resigned, who hasn't resigned, because I don't want to go on press reports. I think there's a danger in that, and that's really what we, you know, I've tried to do in this. If the House feels that we should get copies of the correspondence from the presidency or to try and understand what the reasons were, I'm sure that we could try and access that. It's not a problem at all. Mr. Lange, can I just ask, can I allow Mr. van der Berg to speak and I'll give you a chance of that.
Thank you, Chairperson. As it was being said in this committee, I just want to say, Chairperson and honourable members, it has been said that the situation at the SABC is not a thing from yesterday. It developed over a long, long, long time. If I say to you, sir, a long time, then it is not since the beginning of this year. It runs back far backwards. And mismanagement and sort of insufficiency doesn't occur one morning when you get up, things are wrong. This is a situation at the SABC that runs over years. And I agree with Honourable Holomisa about this whole thing of the economical mismanagement at the one side and maybe political interference at the other side. But I've got the feeling that there was more economic mismanagement at the SABC. Huge amounts of money that has been funded not really broadcasting equipment, but furniture and refurbishing of offices. I can tell you what was going on there and how much money. I will actually say they sort of waste the money on non-critical issues. The core business of the SABC is to inform the people of South Africa. The SABC has got a very, very important role to play in our democracy, to inform people and keep them informed in a non-biased way. Because I feel very strongly that misinformed population is a dangerous population. People must know what is going on. And I think important for me, and I agree with some of the previous people, the honourable members, just to get rid of one board and replace it with another board, maybe there's some political stuff involved, that will not help. I think this committee must give leadership to this whole thing. And I think it's not because some of the members are from the ANC, others from the DA or the COPE or whatever. The responsibility lies on this committee, not on a political party to give leadership, but on the whole committee. I am a member of this committee, and I'm very proud to be a member of this committee, because this committee has done very, very important work in South Africa. And therefore, I urge all the parties that we must get a solution together to make sure that this mess at the SABC never, never, never occurs again. I can tell you, Mr. Chairperson, political interference in the SABC is not a new thing. It was there all the time. Previous years when the National Party was in charge of the SABC, it was the same. I can tell you, sir, I was a producer of a radio program, Monitor. And in the early 80s, I have to phone my boss every morning and to tell him what is in the program. And then he asked me, is there anything negative about South Africa in that specific program? And then I must make sure there's nothing negative about South Africa. So the sort of stronghold was there.
in the early 80s, it was like that in the 70s, and in the year 2009 seems to be still the same. And I think it's very important for our democracy to steer the SABC in a correct direction. And what I'm very concerned about is there's an Afrikaans word, Johnny, Mr. Johnny, can you help me with vertrouwensbreuk? Honorable member, vertrouwensbreuk. What is that in English? I forget it now. Yeah. There's a lot of mistrust, I think, between the TV watchers and radio listeners and the SABC. My biggest problem is there will be, or there may be, a big problem in future to get the people to pay their TV licenses. There was many projects to urge people to pay their TV licenses. But I think this whole mess, I don't think, I hope they will, but the ordinary people, they lost trust in the SABC. It's not only the board, it's also management issues. And as I had it, there was an increase in a couple of, maybe a year, of 111% of senior management in the SABC. And when there's a sort of lack of good management in the SABC, I can't even think about it, because there are enough managers to look after everything and to manage correctly. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
Chair, I think you've summarized where we've arrived, and that is really an issue of corporate governance meltdown. All you have to do is look at the Act, and you'll see what the corporate governance of the Act that it prescribes. And that is simply that the board consists of 12 members, which members are appointed by the president on the recommendation of this committee, plus your CEO, your CFO, and your chief executive officer, chief operations officer, and chief financial officer. So it's 15. That's your board. Now, the Act, what it does then, I find it very interesting, then it makes the whole board the accounting officer. So, usually you have a CEO who is the accountant. This board is the accounting officer. And therefore, all the prescripts in the PFMA apply to the board. Now, the problem that has arisen, and why I think the chair has also called us here urgently, is that Section 1310, then unusually, again I haven't seen this before in any legislation, prescribes the quorum for the SABC. And it says the quorum is 9 members of the board, which must include the chairperson or the deputy chairperson, which will constitute the quorum. Now, as soon as the chair and the deputy, or there were less than 9 members, this structure still remained legal. I see some newspapers say they're illegal. They're not illegal, I mean, in the sense that they're legally put there. But they're clearly dysfunctional. There's not a single decision that this board can make since that quorum couldn't be met. And that quorum couldn't be met on the date when the chair and the deputy chair were no longer existed. Or at least when there were not more than 9 people left, which I'm not sure how many there are now. Now, that's our problem. Is even when the board went to appoint Mr. Trikanji as the deputy chair, there was some debate whether they have the power. The issue is not whether they have the power or not. The issue is they couldn't make the decision because they didn't have a quorum. That's simply the issue. Now, here you have a structure that's legally prescribed, it's got a legal quorum, and it's the accounting officer, and it can't function. Legally it can't function. Not politically, not because of interference, not because of stealing money. Legally, they cannot function. And unfortunately, this legislation doesn't provide for the issue of dysfunctionality and what happens then. So there's no procedure set out for us how we take steps from there. All that we have is a few possibilities, and I think members have raised most of them. The one is, of course, if everyone resigns, then of course you can create a new board, and that's fine. But they haven't all resigned. In fact, those that have resigned, resign in terms of the law and they will stay on for 3 months. You have a 3 month notice period. So even although they have resigned, there's this notice period. The other possibility, of course, is to fill those positions. In this case, you almost have to fill the whole board in any case. The problem with all those, I'm told, and I've gone to look at, this is going to take us at least 2 to 3 months. You advertise, you go through the things, there's public hearings. Last time, 36 nominees were put forward. There were public hearings. It took a whole 3 to 4 months. Then it must still go to the president. What do we do in the meantime with no board existing? We can't go that route. It's just too long. So what we have said from our side, what we want to suggest, and I think it's aligned with what many have said, the only issue then is to look at the new amendment that we had made earlier this year, I think. And that possibility, of course, creates two possibilities of removing people. The one is individually you can remove them in terms of Section 15. And the one reason is if they misconduct and inability. Of course, you want to do that like a disciplinary hearing. You have to go to a whole disciplinary hearing and so on. And the other one is to remove them as a collective. And then the Act says, if you want to remove them as a collective, you must do so by way of an inquiry. And clearly we all know what an inquiry is. They have to at least be audi artem partem. I mean, you have to say to them, you know, come and talk to us, explain to what is happening, and explain exactly all these issues I've raised. How on earth do they think they're going to govern this board if they can't make decisions? So what we're really suggesting is that to go the inquiry route, to call the board here, including the ones that have resigned if they want to, including Dalian Paul, the more we hear from what's happening there, the better. So, but at least to call them here on the basis of a letter saying we want to have an inquiry in terms of 15A. And then there's three grounds that we have to look at in the Act. The one is discharging its fiduciary duties, what Mr. van der Berg has just mentioned. The second one is adhering to the charter. There's a charter and they have to adhere to that and so on. And the third one is carrying out the duties in terms of Section 1311. And 1311 refers back to 6.2, which should do that. So it seems to us, time-wise and everything, if you want to deal with this thing and take control of the accounting responsibilities, as someone starts being able to account. Because if you leave these persons in 3 months' time, if you say, now you account to us, they say, but we couldn't because we couldn't make decisions. So what we're suggesting from our side is tomorrow the SABC board is coming. They have our usual public hearings. We're suggesting that we send them a letter if this committee agrees today, saying to them that we want to use part of tomorrow's meeting as an inquiry in terms of 15A, to deal with particularly fiduciary duties and so on and so on and so on, and its dysfunctionality. And we use then tomorrow to see what comes out of that meeting, how to take this thing forward. If we feel we can make a decision, we can make. If we feel we can't, then we'll have to see how further we take this issue. But it must all be done in terms of due process, in terms of an inquiry, and that people can respond to these issues. All the other issues you are raising about commissions of inquiry and so on, we think that those are valid issues we'll have to look at. Because clearly, last time, I understand, I wasn't here, but last time the board was here, they told us all their books are fine, there are no problems, everything. Suddenly within months, I mean, you now read stuff that you can't believe. I think one of the members from the other side said, I think it was you, Reverend, in a month or two, suddenly things completely collapsed. They owe hundreds and eight hundreds of millions, and where does this all come from? When they reported here last time, as accounting officers, that their books are clean, everything is fine. So there has to clearly, we have to go into that, but clearly that's not our priority right now in the next week or so. In the next week or so, what we need to do is put an accounting structure in place. And the amendment allows us firstly to have the inquiry. If we as a committee feel that on the basis of that inquiry that there's information that they should be removed, we can do so. The Act then allows us to immediately appoint an interim board of how many members? 5 members, which can only stay there for 6 months. So what that does, it creates stability, it creates legality, and it gives us 6 months then to go and appoint a new board. And then we can also look at all the other issues, whether we have to look at the forensic audits and so on and so on and so on to try and deal. And then it also, once we've got an interim board, then we can deal with a lot of things that people mentioned, the payments and so on. I mean, they can't be made at the stage if there's no board that can authorize. I mean, there's, you can pay money to a certain extent, but above that, you have to start authorizing it through the board. Now, without a board, we can't do those things. So that's really our suggestion. I don't know if I've been very clear about it, is that for us to ask the legal advisor for us to draft the letter, to state very clearly that part of tomorrow's hearings and so on are going to be an inquiry in terms of this, and spell out the three grounds of which we have, and then put basically this functional issue, and any other issues, any member, we can't stop any member, you can put whatever issues you want to them at that stage, and then see if we can get a decision out of that, or what do we do from there, what do we do with the inquiry, to immediately take that decision and then place an interim board. And that gives us the 6 months. At least we know then, as we sit here, that there's legal stability there, and there are people that now we can hold accountable. But then we can start sorting out the other thing here of whether further investigations, whether, and of course the appointment of a new board. I don't know if I summarized correctly as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank
sometimes
you.
It's good to have a lawyer.
Yeah.
Normally they complicate matters first, but this time I think it's becoming a bit clearer. General Lumisa?
Chairperson, I support the motion. And I would also like to ask the chairperson as to how will we make sure that all the board members will be in attendance tomorrow, especially those who have left. So if you can look at the time factor and the preparations and what is going to be discussed, it might be good to verify that. Otherwise, I think that's the best way out of this. Because after this meeting tomorrow, we will be in a better position to know what is happening at SABC. We can't just dub it as a crisis without knowing, without having facts. I think that's the best way out, as I see it.
Can I just say that those, my understanding is this, that even though people have resigned, they still serve a termination of what, office notice or something of its sort for 3 months. So legally they can still be brought here. Mr. Peter Wundler is 15th of March, the 15th of April, 15th of May, 15th of June. Maybe his 3 months seem to have expired, so we under no he's under no obligation to come here. But the others, there's one is Christine Kunta, is 1st of April, 1st of May, 1st of June, 1st of July. So she still remains technically a board member. And I think that applies to the rest of them. So we will be within our right to call at least these other than Mr. Bulla. Skillian?
Thank you, Chair. It would also be appreciated if you could perhaps just get copies of letters if they expressed specific concerns and gave reasons for the resignation. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Mr. Chairperson. I just have a question, just in terms of clarity, based on Advocate DeLange's motion. If the board remains, how long does the board remain quorate, based on the fact that following their resignation, board members have to serve a 3 month notice period? The reason I ask this is, I wonder if we can't continue the process of replacing those board members who've resigned while the board remains quorate, in terms of the fact that those who have resigned must still serve out their notice period. My concern is about the installation of the interim board, which I'm sure you'll remember our predecessor, Dean Smuts, was very much opposed to, on the grounds that it could turn into a political appointment. So if I could just have clarity on who would appoint the interim board, on what basis, on what authority, would we participate in that process, and to what extent would that process be open to political interference? I take the point about stability for 6 months and making sure that we have an accounting authority for 6 months, but if this board is required to stay for an extra 3 months, having resigned, these board members who resigned, surely then there would be quorate long enough for us to replace the board members who resigned. Thank you.
The difficulty, you're right in one sense that they have a 3 month term to serve out. Our difficulty is that the quorum says that either the chairperson or the deputy chairperson must be present. Without those, any one of those persons, there is no quorum. Now, even if there are 14 members present, But if you don't have a chairperson and a deputy chairperson, they can't constitute a quorum. So, I mean, you know, Advocate Delanga used the expression last week, it's a dead duck board. That's the reality. I mean, that's a common layperson understanding of this thing. It cannot meet. So that's the dilemma we face. Otherwise, ordinarily, I mean, there would be a deputy chairperson, and if there are 9 members, they can meet and take decisions. But under these circumstances, they can't meet at all. And I think that's really the problem that we're trying to address. On the issue of the interim board, I mean, in our deliberations when we were presenting and discussing the amendment to the Broadcasting Act, we recognized that the constitution of an interim board would be as a result of a crisis situation or an emergency situation. And therefore, Parliament will have to fill that gap as a matter of urgency. And therefore, there wouldn't be a public process. So we wouldn't be calling for nominations and following the ordinary route. So it is really this portfolio committee that will process names, and then, of course, the recommendation goes to the National Assembly. If the House supports that those nominations, then the President is obligated to appoint those persons within 10 days, so that there's a quick and swift action in creating some stability and getting a board. I think the point about political appointees, I think that we are all responsible people here. We're dealing with a serious national problem. And I don't think it's the intention of any of us here to politicize the process of setting up an interim board. We would have to get the best possible skills to get the SABC out of this rut. I mean, it's not just a crisis of the board. There are very serious financial challenges. There are serious questions about management and its capacity to function efficiently and at optimal levels. There are all sorts of other disputes, that legal disputes that need resolution. And there's the question of the unions and the labor, you know, the threatening of labor action. So I think we are all aware of the gravity of the situation. And I don't think it's the intention of any of us just to bring in people here and make this another political, you know, exercise. I think we would look for the best possible skills in the country to help us in the immediate situation, so that it gives us a bit of breathing space to start the process of fresh nominations, and then with a bit of extra time we can think about who are the 12 persons we think ultimately should become the new board of the SABC. So the process is really in our hands. If we go the route of the interim board, of dissolving the board and appointing the interim board, it's really up to this committee to think and to come up with 5 names. So one of the things, I mean, if we ultimately agree to the resolution that is being, I mean, the proposal that is being suggested by the ANC, is we will have to leave here and start, you know, thinking about the kinds of people we think who should be appointed on the interim board, because there is
Chairperson, on a point of order.
So, okay.
I thought we are going to get a full briefing set tomorrow. And then after that, we can map up the way forward. But it looks as though you are already concluding.
No, I accept what you are saying, but the lady has asked the question, so I'm just trying to forecast what might be the processes ahead of time. So that when parties come, they don't come next week and say, well, we're not aware of it, etc. So I think there is a sense of urgency. So I take your point, and it's not meant as a prescriptive route that we want to follow. Ms. Dillon?
Yeah, Chairperson, through you, I wonder if Advocate Delanga can explain to us the structure that the inquiry will take tomorrow. What are the kind of issues that you could raise in that inquiry, or do we have a list of things already which we can look at today so that we are informed tomorrow about what issues to raise in the inquiry? Thank you.
I'll give you a chance now, Mr. Manamela.
Thank you, Chair. I think they are inevitable. The first inevitability is the fact that we've got a crisis around the board forming a quorum. And even if we get the members receiving notice to come in here tomorrow and they explain to us whether they got their instructions from Luthuli House or from Kusatu House, you know, and all of those things, I don't think that will help. The reality is that we've got this crisis of a quorum, no chairperson, no deputy chairperson, and inevitably we'll have to make sure that the board is functional. So even if tomorrow we get to understand the gravity of the crisis, in terms of all the other operational issues, you know, the producers not being paid, the workers being on strike, and all of those things. Even if we get to understand all of those things, you know, and so forth, inevitably we'll have to come up with a structure, and of course follow the due process that you know has been explained. But I think that it really has to sink into us that even if we understand that there are all of these problems at the SABC and all those things being presented tomorrow, it will be our responsibility to make sure that for the coming few months or few weeks, the SABC board is able to take decisions. And since it's not able to do that now, what is it that we're supposed to do? So that's what we need to be thinking about as a reality. So I thought I should just mention that.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think, Chair, one of the issues that we need to do the structure of our approach tomorrow is also to look at the articles of the association, the performance of the board, as the other honourable members have said. I think we've seen the past 3 months that there were members of the public that were calling the board to step down. And those issues, the issues of management, operational issues, those are the issues that really have caused a concern to the public. Also, the issues of the board, technically, I can say it's bankrupt. So I think the way we can structure, those are the issues we can structure our discussion with the SABC tomorrow.
Chairperson, you'll pardon me. I'm very much in a hurry because I'm speaking at 2:00. I just wanted to say, I think we're at the verge of finalizing the whole thing. We did articulate on all of these things that we're talking about. Can we maybe, you know, with your assistance, find out whether we do agree on what the ANC has put on the paper?
As I see it, the amendment section 15A B, what it says, Mr. Lilly, is the National Assembly may, after due inquiry and by the adoption of a resolution, recommend the dissolution of the board if any one of the following has not been complied with: discharging of fiduciary duties, adhering to the charter, and carrying out the duties in 1311. So it's so wide, it's all the things that they should do. But as I suggested, our real big problem at the moment is the dysfunctionality. So in my view, I mean, we must concentrate on that. But there are a whole host of other issues in terms of fiduciary duties. Fiduciary duties are all the kind of things they must do in good faith, which they clearly haven't done for one reason or the other, or otherwise the newspapers and everyone else is lying completely. Now, all those issues can also be raised tomorrow. And I think, as I said, the way we usually do this, if you write them a letter today to say there's going to be the inquiry in terms of section so-and-so, these are the issues we're going to engage you with, they appear here, and the chair and we engage them on the issues. And then from there on, we see where we take the inquiry. If we can make the resolution, we can. If we can't, we'll discuss whatever else we do to take the process to bring it to finality. And that is really what we're suggesting. Obviously, we would have personally also liked a bit more time. But the problem is, already some of these board members' times are lapsing, so they're not going to come. So the longer we wait, the less are going to be here, the less we're going to get all the views, and the more difficult, as General Lamisa has pointed out, the more information you have, the better you can make your decision, and particularly to make a legally correct decision for us not to get embroiled in some legalities, as the chairperson has pointed out. So it's really that kind of process that we need to at least unfold tomorrow and see how far we can take it, for the reasons that Mr. Manamela has also raised, that this crisis is the one we have to solve now, or in the next week.
The reason I'm asking is that so the inquiry is going to go back only since the new board, the existing board, has been established. Because even before that, the SABC had profits in some of the years, they had a reserve. Things seem to have gone well before the new board come on board. So our questions is going to go back from the start of the new board up till now, Chairperson.
Now, legally, we'll have to do it like that, because this process is just for the new board.
Thank you, Chairperson. Is it possible to get any AG report on the SABC and their financial, annual report? Would that be available? Because for some of us new to the committee, that would also be very interesting to reading material in order to study. Secondly, just a brief question. I know that the chairperson of the board, as well as the deputy, is appointed by the president. Is there any provision, what happens if they would resign, as we have at present? Is it again the appointing body that should reappoint somebody else? And secondly, should we not in this process also perhaps just review some elements of the SABC legal position? Because it's evident that we actually have a situation now that you have a whole board and yet they cannot take any decisions. It's really a sort of an absolute chess mate situation. I think we will have to also, have a look at legal processes, and how they should execute their function in terms of the Act. Thank you.
Just on the appointing authority, the President appoints the Chairperson and the Deputy Chairperson, ordinarily. But if you look at the 16A, if it's the interim board, it's on the recommendation of the National Assembly. Both the chairperson and deputy chairperson are recommended by the National Assembly, so you have a role even in that respect. Okay, I want to try and bring this to a closure, Mr. Kolwani. Can I give you the final word on this, and then we try and tie things up?
I'm not sure. You want me to give the honorable?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I want to go back to the point about the 3 months, because I feel as though, and perhaps I'm being overly belligerent, forgive me if I am, but I feel as though we are being basically told, or assured, that the second option, which is for the interim board to be installed, is the best solution. We're not actually having a very clear discussion about the fact that we have two clear options before us, the one being to keep the board and replace the resigned members, and to install a new committee chairperson and deputy chairperson instead of the board will be quorate. And then the other option being the installation of the interim board. And I take the ANC suggestion that we install the interim board, but I wonder, have we explored our first option, which is very clearly stated in this letter from the acting DG? Have we clearly explored the option of simply replacing the board members who've resigned and ensuring that the board is quorate enough for us as a committee to then go through the process of installing a permanent board? So my question is, as my colleague from COPAS just said, is it up to the president to re-elect the committee chair and deputy chair? I mean, sorry, the board chair and deputy chair, in the event, as we have it now, that they've both resigned. So if it remains quiet for another 3 months, can President Zuma then appoint a chairperson and a deputy chairperson from the existing pool so that we can continue with the process of actually installing a brand new permanent board? Thank you.
Do we want to respond to that right now? Well, I'm just wondering, because we're going to open up a whole debate then. No, I would say that, look, let us not respond. These are options. I think ultimately parties will have to go and come back tomorrow after the inquiry to state what they think is the preferred option. And that's a political choice that you're going to make. You're faced with a serious situation, a crisis at your doorstep. Which is the best way to deal with it? If you think your way is the best way, you're going to advocate it tomorrow. And if we disagree, then we'll put it to the committee and we'll take a decision. I don't think we want to necessarily respond. And maybe that the DA should also get its own legal advice on this matter and not just rely on the advice that the ANC might be offering. You might have a different perspective, that's fine. But I don't want to open up that debate right now. Okay, can I, Mr. Palwani?
No, sir. Mine says that we must conclude the discussion as we have been, so that we don't get into the further deliberation which we can do after the process of tomorrow. Which we have to come back and discuss other issues. So I'm happy that we seem to be agreeing as a committee, all of us, that tomorrow, because what is key is the issue on the day tomorrow. We agree about the inquiry. I think if we agree about that, Chair, anything else, Chair, will be handled after that particular inquiry. So from our side, Chair, just to thank the majority of the honourable members from the other side to see the broader vision about this issue. Thank you.
The legal people have just prepared a properly worded resolution. Can I put this to the House so that it's formally on the record? Because we will have to write to them very shortly, and I want to get the wording right. It says that, dear members of the SADC board, the Portfolio Committee on Communications, having noted that 8 members have resigned from the SABC board, and having noted specifically that the resignations include that of the chairperson and the deputy chairperson of the board, wishes to inquire into the legal status of the board with its current membership. Board members are requested to attend a meeting scheduled for tomorrow at 2 p.m. Fine. With a view also to address the committee on the status of the board and show whether in the light of the resignation it can still fulfill its statutory and fiduciary functions. The committee will consider oral and written representations from the board members at this meeting in order to report to the National Assembly accordingly. Does that capture what we were trying to say?
I think it does some, but I do think they have to refer to the act in the section. They have to say it's an inquiry in terms of
so-and-so. And the issue about we're going to investigate the legal status, that must be one of the 4 or 5 issues. We must state fiduciary duty, charter, etc. And so I would keep the spirit of that correctly, but I just think we should definitely, I mean, members have to, when they come here, the board members, they must know that it's an inquiry into the Section 15A. If they don't know that, they're going to tell us, well, we didn't know it was an inquiry, so we'll have to do that. And then just broaden it to include those 3, plus the legal status, if you do. So that's all I would suggest.
Are you in agreement with that?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Are we in agreement? Then we adjourn till tomorrow, 2 o'clock sharp, please. Tomorrow is a long session, please. Raise yourself for a long session. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You can really get locked up.